and it's KVC Arts now on KVCR, Arts and Entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. This edition of KVC Arts is in conversation with Victor Campos, the founder and lead singer of the band Barrio Slam, behind us now. More to the point of this conversation, though, he's the founder of Mosh for Youth, a nonprofit providing scholarships through music. Here's Diego Munoz with more.
So, Victor, tell me, what is Mosh for Youth?
Yeah, it's a 501c3 nonprofit. Essentially, what we do is we throw hardcore shows, metalcore, whatever, you know, like the subgenres, in order to raise scholarship money, right? So, like, right now we're raising scholarship money for students of East LA, Pomona, and San Bernardino just got added, actually. So, yeah, we throw shows for scholarship money for students that want to go to college. We chose those cities because they're areas of low resources and where college attainment itself, graduation rates, are lower than the state averages, right? We have all our stats in our website. They're lower than state averages, and poverty rates are higher than state averages. And we see education as one of those things that is one of the solutions to get out of poverty, to get out of tough situations that come with being born or living in those cities. And it's a lot of love for those cities in general, too. You know, I'm from Pomona myself, but I think education is one of those answers that can help our students in general with getting out of these situations. And this is how we do it. We do it through these hardcore shows.
Did growing up in the area directly affect how you approach Mosh for Youth and your approach on education?
Yeah, 100%. Like I said, I was raised in Pomona. Pomona is very high gang violence, a lot of poverty, a lot of those issues that we see in very Latino communities. And that definitely influenced, one, when I went into teaching. I was a teacher for a while. I taught world history and ethnic studies. And I taught in East LA, right, which very similar demographics to Pomona. And the way that you, as a teacher, become a successful teacher is by connecting with your students.
Yep.
And when I started teaching, I did it. I was trying to find my teacher voice. I was trying to find, like, who my identity was as a teacher.
Yeah.
I think I started succeeding as a teacher when I started being myself instead of trying to become, like, what the quote-unquote perfect teacher is.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm from Pomona. I'm going to act like I'm from Pomona, right? So when I went into teaching, I started talking more normal. The students, they see that authenticity. They see that connection with them. And that's where my approach to teaching started being more like, okay, be yourself, right? Pomona influenced you. Bring that into the classroom. Obviously, be professional in all that sense, right? Do that. But also on the other end, right, like in the Mosh for Youth end, being from Pomona, like I said, is very low resource, low income. At first, I didn't care about college too much until I was kind of forced into a program called Upward Bound by my brother. My brother was in it. He was a lot more focused on education. But Upward Bound is in cities that need it, right? Yeah. Like the Upward Bound program is a program that's in cities that have students that need tutoring, that need guidance, right, into how to get to college.
Mm-hmm.
So being from Pomona and being in this kind of like environment with Upward Bound is the reason I went to college. Upward Bound is the reason that I graduated high school, right? And that I got into education. So having that kind of like trickle hand in hand with my involvement in music created Mosh for Youth, right?
Yeah.
It created this nonprofit that really is a large focus of my life right now.
So you mentioned poverty rates, Pomona's, it has an active gang community.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what are some challenges that students faced?
When I was in high school, right, like a lot of different issues, right? A lot of violence for sure. When I was there, I don't know like how it is divided as much anymore, but it was divided by the different races, the different ethnicities. So like the south side of Pomona was more Latino, more Mexican. North side of Pomona was more African-American. And those divisions existed, and they existed both physically and kind of like socially as well, right? During that time, there were a lot of like gang wars and race wars going on, a lot of that kind of violence of one against another, even though we're all from the same communities. So we saw those issues with violence. A lot of people in Pomona, including myself, have friends that have been killed by gang violence, that have suffered in those senses, right? Right now and before, we saw a lot of immigration issues, right? A lot of raids happening in Pomona. So all of that takes into account our hope to help, right? Like our goal to help our communities.
Along with Upper Bound, did Hardcore encourage you to keep going, pursue a higher education, stay off the streets, stay away from the violence?
Yeah, Hardcore has like a lot of different messages, right? Yeah, like on a lot of different ends, right? Yeah. When I came up in Hardcore, I was getting really into like melodic hardcore. Mm-hmm. Bands like Have Heart.
Oh, yeah.
Bands like Lifelong Tragedy. There's a band called Set It Straight. And they were all very positive bands, mm-hmm. right? Like very positive bands with a very positive message about perseverance. Mm-hmm. And you take that into account, right? It's not just angry music yelling.
Yeah.
You're listening to the lyrics, mm-hmm. right? And like you tell yourself that you can get through anything, essentially. And that's kind of like hardcore in general, yeah. right? Like life can suck, but you got to be tougher than life. So you got to just push forward. And you do.
Yeah, since hardcore, it's such a positive community. I'm straight edge. Mm-hmm. Bands like Have Heart inspired me to be straight edge, stay off streets, stay off drugs. Mm-hmm. What are some lessons from the hardcore community that you've taken and applied to your role as an educator?
DIY. I mean, life is just DIY, right? Like, that's the biggest lesson in hardcore for me has been do it yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody is gonna save you but you, kind of deal, you mm-hmm. and your community. So as an educator, I kind of took that into account. Like my first year teaching, and every teacher is going to tell you the same thing. Their first year teaching is the worst year, right? Like it is just the worst year yeah. of your life. It's difficult to try to learn teaching methods and trying to get the attention of your students as mm-hmm. a new scared teacher. But I think the lesson of DIY and hardcore is like, okay, this sucked, right? This lesson sucked. How are you going to fix it, right, for mm-hmm. the next time? It's not just about wallowing in what didn't go well. It's about learning from it and pushing forward, right? Mm-hmm. That's what hardcore kind of tells you. Like, okay, yeah, you had some life lessons. How are you going to learn from them? Because mm-hmm. if you're just going to sit there and complain about, like, your life lessons, your life circumstances, all of this stuff while doing nothing about it, right, then you're doing it to yourself at that point. Mm-hmm. So as a teacher, it's the same mentality, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, like these lessons suck. This quarter sucked. How could I better make my lessons, right? Yeah. What different approaches can I take? So doing that for sure, but also like hardcore is very community oriented.
Yes.
The classroom should be very community oriented too, right? You want to build community in the classroom. Mm-hmm. So making sure that there's that level of trust with your students, there's that level of respect, mm-hmm. trust, communication, all of that stuff. As an educator, one of the first things you should do is focus on what does your classroom look like? What does it feel like? What kind of like communication do you have with your students, right? So like that is the first thing that you should work on. And that also comes from like that hardcore mentality, mm-hmm. like, right? What is the community that you're building together? So build that with your students as well.
Did you bring hardcore into your classroom? Did you introduce your students to hardcore, like foundation, have art, stuff like that?
Not on purpose, right? So like I worked high school. First I worked with 9th graders and then 12th graders for a couple of years. The thing about students, man, is they're going to Google you.
Yeah.
They're going to look you up. They looked me up. They found Barrio Slam, yeah. right? They found my band. They found the things that I was doing. And they brought it into my classroom, right? I didn't bring it myself, uh-huh. right? But they brought it into the classroom. And once they did, I can't really avoid it, right? Like, yeah. you already know. You already saw the Instagram. You already saw the YouTube videos out there. So now we could talk about it. And yeah, it's just very interesting to see.
Tell me the story of the first Mosh for You. How'd you get that together? Were there any yeah. issues?
I feel like I was always trying to merge my two passions, right? Education is a passion of mine. Yes. Like, I still work in education. And then hardcore has been part of my life since I was 14.
Yeah.
I feel like during my teaching years, all I really focused on was on teaching. Mm-hmm. And music wasn't that big part of my life during those 4 years that I was a teacher. There was one day where I was just sitting in traffic, and that year was the year that my first graduating class was going to graduate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you build these connections with the students and their parents and like the community. And I was like, what can I do to give them something more? So I was like, dude, I already know how to throw hardcore shows. I've yeah. done this. I used to throw shows when I was 14 in my parents' yard. I already know how to do this. Now let's do this to raise scholarship money to give our students something more. So that thought came like in September of mm-hmm. 2021. And then I tweeted it. I yeah. went on Twitter. I was like, hey, I want to throw a show to raise scholarship money or start doing this yearly. I think that's what I said. And then mm-hmm. Steven from 197 Media, mm-hmm. he was the first guy to reply. Solid idea. After that, more people started like, hey, how can I help? And the first Mosh for Youth, it was just local bands, a bunch of IE Hardcore, a couple LA, a couple OC. Barrio Slam headlined that one. And it was at Por Siempre Tattoo Shop. We just threw the show. We didn't know what we were doing. Rented a PA system from Guitar Center and just made it happen. And that first year, we gave like $6,000 in scholarships.
Wow. So yeah, I started going to shows around the same time. I saw Smoked at the Slab in Colton. And I've personally seen a lot of change in the scene since then. What have you seen? And in Mosh for Youth, what has changed?
One, Inland Empire Hardcore is having its moment right now. Rightfully so. And that goes to the testament of all the bands that just kept it going, right? You mentioned Smoke, 97 Minutes. Harsh Reality has been doing this for 12, 13 years. I don't know. Yeah. Like, they started that band when I was in another band, like three bands ago. Yeah. And they're still going. But them, like 5-7 Booking, Andres, they just work so hard make it what it is now. And it's a recognizable scene now within an Empire Hardcore. And it's crazy because for a good while, not that I was a part of that, but like it was just seen like as whatever, kind of like the butt of a joke sometimes. Mm-hmm. But the hardcore bands here, the scene here, they didn't care, right? They were just like, okay, well, we're Inland Empire Hardcore. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. And now it's like being recognized more and more and more. And bands are expanding more and more and more. And doing great. Look at Big Ass Truck, you know, what doing.
They're touring Europe soon.
They're with Chiodos right now.
Yeah.
Inland Empire is just thriving, and I'm happy to see it. There's a lot of homies here. The Inland Empire Hardcore scene has been the number one supporter of Mosh for Youth. That's exactly why we brought in San Bernardino to our scholarship recipients, because when we started Mosh for Youth, it was just for Pomona and East LA. And then I told myself, like, San Bernardino, the IE, helps Mosh for Youth so much by attending our shows and playing our shows. We're going to give a scholarship over there too, because they deserve it. So that's why we are at San Bernardino. But IE Hardcore, man, is amazing to see what it's become.
That's Victor Campos in conversation with Diego Munoz, speaking mainly about Mosh for Youth and some music and community events coming up quite soon, with the proceeds going to students in Pomona, San Bernardino, and East LA.
So Mosh for Youth 8th is going to be the first Mosh for Youth in LA proper.
Yeah.
Why the change in location? Why LA instead of Pomona, IE?
Yeah, so we also serve LA. We have students. Our scholarships are for LA too, and LA has been asking for a Mosh for Youth for a long time. We're like, okay, it's time to go over there. But also, we want to expand our influence, right? We want to expand the amount of scholarships that we give. Pomona, obviously, I love Pomona. I'm from there. I still live there. LA just has more people. And the hardcore scene in LA is just, because the population is bigger, there's more people. We could get more people there to bring in more money for the scholarships, right? So, like, we want to use LA as well, but still keep coming back to the IE, keep doing Pomona. And we are working on that. And like I said, Lake Elsinore is also going to pop up pretty soon. And just expanding even more. We've talked to Tucson, possibilities for like Mosh for Youth Coachella. So like we're trying to just expand as much as possible.
What went into picking the region as the venue? Since it's one of my favorite venues, so I just want to know.
They wanted to work with us.
Really?
Right? Like, so one of the guys that works at the Regent, Eric, he's been telling us, like, let's work together at the Regent. So we just made it happen finally. So the Regent is also a great space, a legendary venue as well. Big, huge bands have played there. That's where they do, like, Sound and Fury pre-shows. So it's a good foot in the door to, like, bigger spaces. And through that, we've gotten more connections to, like, the Roxy and other possibilities in LA.
Do you ever see Mosh for Youth expanding and providing additional opportunities to students, so like workshops, tutoring, stuff like that?
I mean, ideally, yes. Mosh for Youth is my side hustle right now, right? Like, Mosh for Youth is not my full-time job. I have a full-time job. I still work for the same district where I taught. Ideally, I would love to spend all my time and energy on Mosh for Youth, because that is my number one passion. So if we ever get the funding for it, if we ever apply for enough grants or get, like, you know, our donors, enough money for me to just focus on Mosh for Youth, then yeah, for sure, tutoring programs. The cathedral itself, they've wanted to do some kind of organization under Mosh for Youth where we teach high school students how to organize shows, how to organize concerts, things like how do we do Mosh for Youth, and bringing them in and teaching them that kind of process to build that next generation of people that want to throw shows.
And I know Mosh for Youth recently expanded as a record label, right? You guys signed Smoke, you guys put out your own music as Barrio Slam on Mosh for Youth. what changes have come to Mosh for you? Since I know it started originally just as mm-hmm. nonprofit, mm-hmm. then the label. Like, what has changed?
Yeah, so like the label is still part of the nonprofit, right? So a large portion of the money that we make from selling vinyl, selling merch from those bands goes into the scholarship pool. We just wanted to just keep expanding, right? Like, we want to explore the different levels of this music industry and hardcore mm-hmm. to try to bring in the most money as possible.
Yeah.
And as we try to, like, expand and make it my full-time job mm-hmm. too, right? Like, we need those different, you know, ventures to bring in that income and just keep expanding those scholarships themselves. And I think that starting the record label was just the most sense, right, for the next branch of Mosh for mm-hmm. Youth. It just kind of clicked. And it's something that me and a couple friends had already talked about even before the start of Mosh for Youth was starting a label, because I have a friend that's in Mosh for Youth now, super into marketing, Lucky. And then I have a friend who does music production. He's an audio engineer who can record bands, mm-hmm. right? That's Fabian. So we just kind of came together and figured that starting a record label was the best possible way.
Yeah. As I said, I started going to shows around the same time that Mosh for Youth started, and accessibility has always been a big thing for me since I was like 15, mm-hmm. no car. I couldn't go to a show that was in LA and mm-hmm. past 11, it was like $30. Mm-hmm. I know that Mosh for Youth, it's always been DIY or die.
Mm-hmm.
What has Mosh for Youth done to keep shows accessible since, like, $40 to see so many bands at Mosh for Youth? Hey, that's a steal.
Yeah. One, I feel like the region themselves, they understand what we're trying to do. So they made the price of renting out the region accessible to Mosh for Youth. So we keep it the same, right? Like, if you're going to make it accessible for us, we're going to do it as well. And we want as many people as possible. One, we understand what it is like to be young and without money. Mm-hmm. And that sucks. The most expensive Mosh for Youth was Mosh for Youth 6, I think. But that's because we had band members flying from, like, Europe.
Yeah.
And we had two bands from Canada and bands just flying from all over the place. And that caused something, right? Yeah. But yeah, this $40 Mosh for Youth for, I think it's 17 bands that we have. We want the kids to show up, man. Like, yeah. We want the kids to show, like, hardcore. It's a young scene, mm-hmm. and the young people are going to be the ones moshing. Like, I'm tired. I still do it every once in a while, but, like, I'm tired. We want the young kids to come out and mosh, and it's for the youth, right, in shows and outside of shows. So the kids don't have money to be spending, you know, $150 yeah. on a festival, so $40. Let's do that, and with that, we'll still be able to pay the bands and still have a large pool of money for the scholarships themselves.
And what do you have to say to people who critique hardcore for saying it's too violent? Like, a lot of moms
yeah.
see videos of people, like, diving off the highest yeah. thing they can find or hitting people.
Yeah,
like, what do you have to say?
I mean, you don't understand it. It's just like, if you don't get it, you don't get it, and that's fine, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to get it. If you don't get it, then it's not for you. We get it. We understand, and we're going to keep doing it.
Yep.
Punching, kicking, all that stuff is our form of dancing. Everybody has a form of dancing. Mm-hmm. This one is ours. That is what it is, yeah. right? Like, again, if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't, and that's fine. I've been doing this for 20 years, and I'm still here, right? I thought I was going to grow out of it, but I guess I didn't. I'm in it more than ever. I'm in it more yeah. than when I was 14, right?
And people fall, they get back up. So it's always been a positive community, yeah. supportive. Someone will always be there to help.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, people get knocked out.
Oh, yeah.
And then everybody stops to help. It's part of it. The people that get knocked out, they understand. It happens.
It happens,
right?
Yeah.
Like, I got my nose broken uh-huh. when I was, like, 16. I'm not going to get mad. Like, mm-hmm. I understand what I'm getting into. It's our culture. And we're all consenting to this violence. And that's fine.
Yeah, like, even at the Roddy Nacho show this past weekend, we had a scary moment, but the yeah. whole community came together, got the dude help.
Stopped, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's what it is,
yeah.
right? It's still community, despite of what it might look like to others.
You have to see it live to understand it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think that's what a lot of people don't get to experience, right? They see the videos and think it's nonsense, but you can't get the energy from the videos, right? You can't get the feeling from the videos as if you were there.
Barrio Slam is approaching its 10th anniversary, or it's past?
It's past.
You guys started up around the same time that Trump started his campaign.
Yeah.
So the Latino community has been under fire for quite some time by yeah. him and other GOP figures. Mm-hmm. How has that affected your writing in Barrio Slam?
Oh, man, we have a whole album for Donald Trump called Rest Easy. Mm-hmm. When we started Barrio Slam in November of 2015, the campaigning was already starting. I didn't think it was serious, but it was pretty serious at the time. Yeah, the Latino community has been under fire. So, like, we started a band that focused on being Latinos, right? It's just like, okay, we're proud of who we are, right? And it's very political. We have explicit lyrics that are directed at him 100%. And we're a political band, right? I've always been a political person myself. Mm-hmm. So that came very naturally. But now the focus is not just on society and politics in general, but now specifically, let's talk about what you're doing as Donald Trump and the whole right wing that goes against our ideals. Yeah, it's definitely influenced our writing. Like I said, it inspired a whole album and some merch, you know, which I know many have seen.
And do you think hardcore would be a good tool for young people to help get involved in politics, speak out, do something about their community?
Yeah, for sure. I think hardcore is the perfect place for it, right? Like, hardcore invokes anger, invokes emotion, right? Now it's like, what do I do with that anger? What do I do with that emotion? And trying to, like, gear people into not specific political ideologies, but kind of, like, do something about it, a mentality. So, like, if you see an issue, what are you going to do about it? I'm a big believer in grassroots organizing. I believe politics has its place, but I think that place is too slow. So if I see that my community is in need, I'm not going to wait to vote once every couple years, right? Like, that doesn't make sense. I'm going to go see what my neighbors need, which is what Mosh for Youth is trying to do. Like, I'm not going to wait for an education reform. I'm not going to wait for minimum wage to go up. I'm not going to wait for all of that stuff. What can we do now to help our communities? And I think hardcore is the perfect place to drive that mentality of, like, let's lay out all the issues in our lyrics. Okay, now what are you going to do about it? And I think there's a lot of different people that do a lot of different things, like Hot Stuff Booking. They had their toy drive for the children with SOS Booking. They did their thing with the Hood Santa, right? Like, hardcore is a perfect place to, like, go do something about it.
Yeah. I was always asked in high school and even in Upper Bound, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where do you see Mosh for Youth in 5 years?
Hopefully Mosh for Youth in 5 years is my full-time job. Mm-hmm. The things that we're talking about earlier is exactly what I would hope for, like being able to provide tutoring services, helping students who want to get into, like, the music industry in general, promoters and all that stuff, right? Or finding new ways to raise as much scholarship money. So I hope in 5 years that Mosh for Youth is a full-time thing as opposed to, like, after 5 p.m. when I'm done with work. Right now, it's my full-time, you know, 5 to 9, essentially. Like, it's definitely my free time right now. So I'm hoping that's the case, whereas, like, now 100% of my focus is on Mosh for Youth. Mm-hmm. And Barrio Slam is still going, right? Like, I have no plans to quit Barrio Slam or, like, end Barrio Slam soon. It's such a big part of my life right now. So those are the two things that I want.
So you guys put out a single in November, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Do we have anything in the works for Barrio Slam upcoming?
One, we also recorded a music video for that single, In the Act of Pain. We're working on new music. We're writing a new EP right now. So sometime next year, hoping to release a new EP. There's a couple tours in the works. We have an East Coast run in May, a Pacific Northwest run in August, the Midwest run in September, and then we're gonna be heading out to Texas again in December. So there's a good amount of stuff in the works for 2026, which might mean we stop playing locally so much, but a lot of things still going. We have no breaks right now.
Yeah. How do you guys balance touring, Mosh for Youth, writing music, your day jobs? How do you guys balance that?
A lot of the management of, like, Barrio Slam is on me, which is fine, right? I don't have kids. Like, all I'm doing is my job in this, and that's what I do. The bandmates, they focus on writing the actual music, and they do that on their free time. It is a tough balance, especially because two of our members are also in auditory anguish, and they have their own stuff we have to plan ahead. Yeah. Like, again, we're planned out to December right mm-hmm. now for next year. So you had to plan ahead. You had to put stuff on your schedule. And you also had to put time off on your schedule, right? Mm-hmm. We already told ourselves we're not doing anything in February. That is our month off because the rest of the months are going to be hectic. So mm-hmm. it's just all about planning ahead and clear communication with the band members and the team.
Mm-hmm. I know you mentioned you want to support youth in music. Why is that so important to you?
I think because it was so important to me as a youth. Starting 14 years old, music became my thing. I got into punk first, then that transitioned more into like hardcore, but it changed my life. And even now as a full-grown 34-year-old, it continues to change my life. Music, it's one of those universal things, even if the style of music is not universal, right? Music in general is just universally therapeutic and could be guiding, right? Yeah. And it was a great guide for me, and I think it could be a great guide for the next generation.
And it's so great to see so many young people starting bands, like In Which Divides Us, they played Mosh for You, yeah, they're pretty young. The whole MySpace, deathcore, yeah. metalcore revival, it's a pretty young scene.
It's super young. Like, you mentioned In Which Divides Us, and it was my first time meeting them at Mosh for You. Like, you're 18 years old, man. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing here playing Mosh for Youth? And they're a great band.
Yeah.
They're an insane band. So, yeah, the hardcore scene is just young again. I feel like it for a good while was just a bunch of, like, late 20-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And then the MySpace revival is yeah. real.
If you could give any advice to, let's say, a teenager wanting to get into shows, start booking shows, start their own band, what would you say to them?
Just do it. There's always a way. The biggest setback that people have when trying to get started is that they don't start. Take that first step and then ask the people around you for help. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do anything alone, and there's other people that have the same mentality that want to help. You just have to ask for that help, mm-hmm. right? This is a community thing. And it's something that I struggle with myself, is asking for help, but no, go ask for help, because there's people that are gonna back you. So, like, take that first step in starting your band, picking your shows, whatever it is. Take that first step. And if you need some guidance, reach out to somebody for guidance, and they're gonna help you out, and that's fine.
So, yeah, where can we find you? Social media, YouTube?
At Mosh for Youth on Instagram, at Mosh for Youth on Twitter, moshforyouth.org. That's where we have more formal stuff, like scholarship applications, ways to donate, things like that. Those are the main ones. So at Mosh for Youth for Barrio Slam, at Barrio Slam HC on Instagram. That's mainly where we keep all of our information on tours and all that stuff.
And to the students of Pomona and San Bernardino that may be listening, when do applications open up?
They will be opening up in March. Keep an eye out. They are going to go through like our Instagram. We're going to blast the applications out, but they're going to be on moshforyouth.org as well /apply.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you. This is great.
Mosh for Youth 8 will kick off with a pre-show this Friday in Pomona at Creator Tattoo. The festival is this Saturday at the Regent in L.A., and then there will be a Marketplace event February 7th in Pomona. Again, more at moshforyouth.org, as well as Instagram at moshforyouth. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Victor Campos. And here at KVCR, thanks to Diego Munoz, Rick Dulong, Sandy Hodela, Adam Rainier Ruiz, and Shireen Awad. Many past shows can be found through iTunes, Spotify, NPR One, or many other podcast sites, and most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet. So thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support.